Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to episode 29 of the CPE Today podcast. Today's course and podcast will be on integration and data sharing, part 3. This is a continuation of our series on how to effectively share data and to integrate your various different systems together, whether you're in a CPA firm, whether you're in a manufacturing organization, whether you are in just a doctor's office or construction company. All of us can benefit from having better integration and sharing across the different systems in our organization. Most organizations now are using upwards of a dozen different systems inside their companies. For example, things like payroll. For example, things like HR, accounting, let's say materials in terms of work in progress, raw materials, finished goods, and so many more, let alone all the different services that we're maybe using on our websites and in on the cloud. For example, things like project management or scheduling for our staff and more. Keeping track of our organizational data and keeping it concise, consistent, and clean is an organizational prerogative in 2021 and beyond. So in this series, what we are looking at what organizations can do to help better manage their organizational data, how it keeps track of that data, and how better to access that particular data. We are looking at, for example, the different reporting tools, desktop tools, and cloud tools that can assist you with helping to keep your organizational data correct and concise and consolidated between these different systems. Now, in episode 3 of this particular podcast, we are going to look at existing desktop tools that are out there that you probably already have access to that you can use more effectively to achieve this ends. Specifically today, we are going to be looking at the Microsoft Office suite, including Microsoft Excel and Microsoft Power BI. Inside of Excel, there are 2, maybe 3 main functions that you should be aware of that are incredibly useful for consolidating data and sharing data for at least reporting purposes. They are Microsoft Power Query, which is an incredible tool for being able to extract data from virtually any database, any data source, whether you're taking data from the web, from a database, from another Excel workbook or more, and bringing it available for reporting and right inside of Excel. Now, inside of that, we also have data modeling in Power Pivot. Power Pivot is an incredible tool that you can use to manage your workbooks, data model, and it's a really effective tool for working and leveraging large quantities of data. So I'm going to introduce these tools to you and point out where they are and where and how you might find them effective for organizational reporting. Now, the other Microsoft tool is Microsoft Power BI. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to go in depth on this particular topic, but I do want to make you aware that Power BI is probably the de facto gold standard for data sharing and integration reporting at the moment. If you haven't worked with Power BI before, it is absolutely worth your time. It is one of the coolest programs out there that lets you take data from all different sorts, mash it all up together, create a data model, and then produce reports out of it. And the best part about it, you can get started for free, F-R-E-E, with this particular application. And it's something that you can learn to do and learn to do very, very well. And in my opinion, it's probably the best overall dashboarding and business intelligence tool out there. And it's great for data sharing and kind of pulling data from different places, mashing it up and learning from it. We're going to spend a minute, not too long, just a couple of minutes or so, discussing programming. I do want to dive into this in future podcasts, and programming in the context of integration is important to know because a couple of things. First and foremost, at some point, you're going to want to do something that, you know, some of the standard tools just don't support, whether it be a certain type of report or you want to pull data from one system and push it to another system that is not currently supported out of the box with like something like Power Automate or Zapier or others. Well, that's when programming is going to want to step in, and it has never been a better time to learn how to do some programming. And I think the skill set that we have as financial professionals lends itself very well to programming, and just a little bit and knowledge about programming can add a tremendous amount of value to your projects. So we're going to talk a little bit about what programming is, hopefully demystify it a little bit, give you some resources to learn more, and in future podcasts, we'll dive in and explore that in further. We'll finish with a hit list of my favorite tools for getting started with your integration project. Okay. So there are tons of resources that are out there. It's never been a better time to consolidate and work with your organizational data. And I'm going to give you some of my favorite tools that are out there that you can consider using for your different integration projects. And I think you'll find that these tools are great at that specific task of charging a credit card or processing an email or using text messaging in your customer notifications or whatever you might have. But I've tried to pick my favorite tools, and we'll just hit up as many as we can with respect to the time that we have available. Okay, well, I do want to draw your attention that this podcast is eligible for CPE credit. It is something that you can earn a credit for doing something you're already doing. Whether you are listening to this on your iPhone or Android as you commute to work, or whether you're watching in real time, we broadcast live twice a week, most weeks, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 o'clock on Facebook and YouTube, or you're watching us on YouTube. At the end of this video, if you'd like to get a credit for your education so that you can stay on top of your continuing education to keep your license, whether you are a CPA, an enrolled agent, a certified financial planner, or more, guess what? You can get a credit for watching or listening. Head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code IDS4. Again, that is cpetoday.com. Use course code IDS4. Take a short 5-question quiz and you will earn a credit for today's class. It's super easy, efficient, affordable, and a great way to stay on top of your training. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into it and do a quick recap on why integration is important. Quickly, integration is great for a lot of different reasons. First and foremost, it's awesome. It's neat. It's time saving. It's efficient. It's cost savings. Really, there's no point not to do it. And reasons for this kind of vary, but what we talk about with respect to integration is allowing data and information to flow easily between systems without really kind of any human intervention. Think of the plumbing in your house. The water flows from the upstairs to the downstairs, the left to the right. You don't have to do anything about it. The pipes just take the water from room to room. Integration and data sharing is the same thing. It moves data from one system to the other without you really having to do much. Typically occurs on some sort of automated basis, automation being the key component of this in terms of you not having to be involved. And it could be on an events basis. For example, like a trigger will occur, like issuing of an invoice, setting up of a client, payment of a bill or something like that. Or it could occur on what we call a scheduled basis, once an hour, or once a week, depending on what the requirements of the project are there for. Now, why is this important and useful? As I mentioned, number one, cost savings. Anything that you're doing repeatedly, well, guess what? You're going to save a lot of money if you can automate that. If it's something you do very infrequently, once a month, once a year, you know, depending on the complexity, it may or may not make sense to automate. So don't feel like you need to automate every single thing you do, but realize the things you do automate, you're going to get efficiency from that, and typically that will lead into cost savings. Automation and integration helps reduce errors. It does exactly what you tell it to do in the workflow every single time you tell it to do it. It gives you scalability and efficiency. As you can grow, you're going to find that you want revenue to scale at one rate, cost to scale at another rate. Well, automation helps us do this. It allows us to do more with less. It brings in standardization. Everything will occur the exact same way every single time you do it, and there's no variation between the way Steve does it versus Alex versus Christian or anybody else. And automation and data sharing and integration is a far more secure method of being able to grow your organization, because with less people involved, that means less opportunity for data breaches and more. So that's why we're looking at this. And in today's class, we're really going to focus on these desktop and reporting tools. These are tools you probably already have access to and you work with on a regular basis, but learning how to leverage these tools more effectively for data sharing, man, will it save you a tremendous amount of time. Now, there are two tools in particular, as I mentioned. You've got Excel and you got Power BI. Excel being the business professional's Swiss Army knife, it is the thing that most of us use 20 times a day, every day of the week, from everything from doing a reconciliation investigation to preparing financial statements. Excel is that tool. And Power BI, which is a new tool, so it's been around for about 5 years now, but it's turned into this wonderfully complementary reporting tool that allows us to pull data and report upon that data and with whatever form that data might be. Now, the reason these tools specifically are being included in this series is that they allow you to connect to virtually any type of data source. We can connect to databases, we can connect to applications, we can connect to other spreadsheets, we can connect to folders of data, we can connect to the web, we can connect to things over what's called a REST API. We can pull in data from these different sources, mash it all together, and then produce a report that gives us meaningful information. You know, if we think about the intention of accounting, if we think about the primary quality of accounting, what is it? It's decision usefulness. It's producing information that allows decision makers to have the information necessary to make the decision that they need to make, getting the right information to the right people at the right time and in the way that they want to receive that information. Now, as we start to look at dashboarding tools, you got lots of different options. The reason I like Power BI is that it is a very approachable tool for many of us who already have experience with Excel, that have experience with working with other Microsoft Office tools. You're going to find it's a very complementary product. And so that's why I tend to focus on that with respect to these podcasts. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into our first tool, which is going to be Excel. And within Excel, there are three main functionalities I want to make you aware of. Okay, now Excel at its core is a spreadsheet application. It is a collection of rows and columns. Rows and columns are a collection of cells. And that is the primary intention of what Excel can do, is to put stuff into that spreadsheet format. However, there is a superset of Excel functionality above and beyond the cells, the rows and columns, which can be incredibly helpful with working with data coming from many different places. While it will not directly, for example, integrate in terms of pushing data from multiple places, it absolutely can work in terms of pulling data from many different places. So from a reporting perspective, it is a wonderful integration and data sharing tool. And if we think about the work that we're doing as financial professionals, most of it is going to be in Excel. So why, you know, let's cut out the middleman here and just hook Excel directly up to that data source and be able to pull that data down directly. Now, there are three main tools. There's Power Query, there's Data Modeling, and Power Pivot. Now, Power Query and Power Pivot are direct functionalities of the application. And we're going to do just a brief demo just so you can kind of see where these tools are. But these are separate windows that will load into the Excel workspace that are on top of Excel. And Power Query and Power Pivot, you'll see they operate as a separate window. So if you go looking for it, just realize it's going to be a separate window that pops up. Now, data modeling is a capability of Excel, but it's much more of a process, and it's much more of like a workflow-centric item that, you know, it's going to be dependent on how you set this stuff up, and it's not like a direct function. You're not going to find like a button, for example, that says data modeling inside of Excel. It's really just understanding how data modeling works and then applying those principles to Excel. Now, Excel is a great introductory tool as we start to work with bigger and bigger data sets. And increasingly, we are working with larger data because we can. Frankly, it's cheap, it's easy, efficient. Computers are so much more powerful than they were even just a short time ago. And it's not uncommon now for most of us to be working with data sets in the millions and sometimes in the billions as well. Okay, so the first tool I want to introduce to you is Power Query. Now, what I want you to think of Power Query as is it's a hookup. It's a doorway that allows data to enter into our Excel ecosystem, and it allows us to be able to fetch data from any number of different sources. Okay, it's what we call an ETL component: extract, transform, and load. Power Query can go out to wherever data happens to be living. Okay, it can extract that data, and then it can import that data into Excel. Now, it has one extra benefit. It can transform data, okay? Rarely are reports exactly the way that we want them to be. They'll often, for example, have additional columns. The data might be not in the right format. It might need to be pivoted or unpivoted. It might need to be summarized or unsummarized. They could be blank rows. The titles of those columns could not be correct. And what do we always end up doing? Well, we either correct the data manually every single month, or we will create helper spreadsheets to assist with the import to ultimately get the data in the format we want. In either way, we're creating a lot of additional work for us, and it can take a long time to be able to get that data in the format to That's correct, just for us to get started. Well, Power Query not only will extract the data, not only load the data, but it will transform the data, and it will remember how it did that transformation so that when you go to get it the next week, the next month, the next year, as long as the original format of that data didn't drastically change, Power Query will be able to run through those steps again. So it allows us to follow this principle of write once, refresh many, meaning I write the transformation techniques, the order how I want it to be once, it remembers it, and then we'll do it in subsequent refreshes. What's beautiful about this is that in a nutshell, we do the work and then it will continuously do that work for us every single time in the future. Now, we're going to cover this topic very much in depth in future podcasts, but I just want to draw your attention to where this functionality is inside of Excel, and we'll do just a simple example pulling in data, from this case, from the web. Let's go ahead and switch over to Excel and take a look here. Now, if you go looking for Power Query, you're going to be disappointed because there's not really kind of anywhere inside of the application that specifically says Power Query. However, if you head on over to the Data tab, it'll even give you a nice little note here, and it will tell you over here on the left-hand side in the work group, Get and Transform. This section, Get and Transform and Queries and Connections, this is Power Query. This is where that functionality lives. Even though it's not called Power Query, this is Power Query. Now, over here on the far left under Get Data, this is where we can essentially import our data in from a number of different sources. We could pull in data from static files like Excel workbooks, CSV files, even web formats like XML and JSON. Believe it or not, we can even import in stuff from a PDF, but admittedly, your mileage will vary. We could pull in data from a number of different database types, including all major types of enterprise databases, including SQL, SAP, IBM, MySQL, one of my favorite database types, Postgres, and others. We could pull in data from Azure, from other online services, including Facebook and Salesforce and Exchange. And if we come down here to other sources, this is where I tend to live the most, where I could pull in data from the existing Excel workbook, which is really good if I'm doing data transformation. From the web, which will be the example we look at here. And then ultimately, no matter what, I can always come down here to where it says from ODBC, and I can import in anything using that open database connectivity tool, which is an ISO standard for interoperability of databases since 92. What I want you to take away from that is, as long as my database or whatever I'm working with was made after 1992, the odds that I can import that data in from Excel are pretty high. What's nice about this, all of us at some point have worked with some sort of nasty database or a client application or problem, you know, and we didn't know how we were going to get data out. Well, you know, as long as it was made in the last 30 years or so, you can use this ODBC tool and you can extract that data right into Excel. So even if it's got terrible reporting tools, if you know a little bit about databases, you'll be able to pull that data out right as rain. Now, in our example here, what we want to be looking at is we want to pull in data for foreign currency. So here's the scenario. You know, I'm working for Steve Co. Industries, and I want to, I've got offices around the world, and I want to be able to bring in the fair market value of our major accounts, you know, so think about our bank account, our accounts receivable, accounts payable. Maybe I just want to have like a quick gut check with respect to, understanding what the fair market value is of that currency and the balance of that account at any given time. Well, typically, how will we do this? Well, we take the balance in the home currency times a foreign currency rate will get us the rate in or the balance in the home currency amount. Now, where do we get that FX rate? Well, we get it from somewhere. You know, we get it from the web typically. So we go out to our favorite search engine, in my case, Google. I type in FX rates and I might come across, for example, this website, xrates.com. Be very careful about how you spell that. Now, if we go over to xrates.com, this is a website that focuses on providing, foreign currency amounts in real time. And you'll notice here, they've got this little rates table. If we click this rates table, what it's going to do is it's going to bring us a nice spreadsheet, well, in spreadsheet format, tabular format of the different currencies and what their current exchange rate is. So we can see here, for example, at the time of this recording, the US dollar to euro is $1 to 81 cents of a euro. A Great British pound would equal 70 I'm assuming cents. Yeah, that'd be 70 cents to $1. Or that'd be 70 pence. Either way. Now, if we were to bring this data into Excel under normal circumstances, we might do something like copy and paste to bring this data in. You know, but the biggest issue with this is if we paste this data in, what have we done? Well, we've brought the data in itself, but the issue is that we have essentially created something I'm going to have to do the following month. Essentially, this data is outdated the second I import it into my spreadsheet. Okay. Nevermore, though, as long as the data is semi-structured in the sense like it has some sort of references where it has headers, it's got rows and columns, what we can do is we can actually import this in using Power Query. Okay, we want to go to a website, in this case, xrates.com, find the URL up here at the top, and ideally we're looking for a URL that is well-structured and accessible. Okay, and we're going to take that URL up here at the top, and we're going to come over here to Excel, and we are going to come over to the Data tab, and we're just going to click this From Web button, and we're going to go ahead and drop in that URL for that particular website. Now, once Excel gets that URL, what it's going to do is it actually is going to scan that website, and it's going to be looking for data that can be imported in. Now, if it's never connected to this website before, as it hasn't on this computer, it's going to ask you how you want to connect. What's beautiful about this tool is that we can choose to connect anonymously, as I'm going to do here, or if we happen to have, for example, credentials like a username and password or an API access to this, we can access it through a login as well. I'm going to choose anonymous. I'm going to go ahead and click connect here. It's going to connect to that particular website, and it is going to scan that page that I listed there to see if there is any table data that can be imported in. Okay, so I'm going to scan through here, and it's going to pick up a couple of things. Usually, you're going to have to check a few things and say, hey, you know, is this it? No, that doesn't look like what I'm looking for. What about this table one? Is this it? Oh, yeah, look at this. Argentinian peso, Australian dollar, Bahrainian dinar. And if we go back and we look at our table data here, it's actually getting the data listed here. Here's our Argentinian peso, Australian dollar, Bahrainian dinar, so on and so forth. Now, if we just click this load button, what will end up happening is that Excel will connect to that specific website. Okay. And it is going to create a connection to that website, scan that page, and then ultimately pull in that data for us. And so in the future now, if we ever want to go and get that data again, we can just click the refresh button, and it will go back out to that website. And as long as that website hasn't changed, we'll pull in that latest version of the data. Pretty cool, if you ask me. Now, we can also adjust this data as well, okay? So one of the things that we can do with this, instead of just bringing in the data by default, is that we can actually clean up this data prior to importing it. If we actually instead, let's do this one more time, come over here to the Data tab, select From Web. Okay, drop in that URL again, and instead of just straight up loading the data in, you'll notice there is a button here. Okay, let's click our Table 1. Let's try that one more time. Okay. And you'll notice that there is actually a button here that says transform data. Now, if we click this transform data, this is where the actual Power Query application, once it decides to comply here, will pop up. And you'll notice we are in a separate window, in this case called Power Query. And it scans through this. And what it will do is it essentially will allow us to clean this data, transform this data to a more meaningful way. You know, typically things that we would need to do might be adjusting the order of items or removing items or adding items. And every time we make a change with respect to this, let's go ahead and just bring in, let's say, the British pound and the Canadian dollar. Okay. Every time we make a change to this, Power Query remembers what we've done, in this case, filter rows here, and will remember that change. If we go ahead and we change the headers over here from being in US dollars, we're going to say in, let's just say currency, like this. Okay, and we'll change this one to say in FX. And then we're going to say in home. Okay, we're essentially just updating these headers to be what we would want them to be, maybe to match against our records here. And then we click close and load. Power Query will perform those transformation techniques, and it gives us a much cleaner set of data for what we need it to be. And so this is a better way of handling it because it's repeatable. It's write once, refresh many. So I find that to be pretty nifty with respect to what you can do it with. And Power Query is going to be something, if you subscribe to our channels and keep an eye out, we will certainly be discussing this in depth in future podcasts. There's so much to discuss and review. Now, the next tool we want to take a look at is going to be Excel data modeling. Now, data modeling and Power Query often go hand in hand with each other. Data modeling in Excel allows us to integrate data from multiple different places, including tables or databases or websites, anywhere that that happens to be. And what this allows us to be able to do is to build a relational data source right inside of our Excel workbook. Within Excel, data models are used to be able to report on larger and larger sets of data. And this is how, for example, we can bring in millions and millions of rows of data, even though the Excel is limited to about a million rows. Using Excel data modeling, we can blow past that limit pretty easily. And we can bring in as much data into Excel as our computer can process. And so data model, the best way of thinking about it is you've got different spreadsheets, different tables, different things, okay? And we can take those different items and different things, and then we can consolidate them into a single source, very similar to how we would handle a database. Now, using this particular method, we can actually create something like a pivot table from multiple different worksheets. And we can also utilize another tool called Power Pivot, where we can create dynamic reports and modify that data model inside of Excel. Power Pivot also brings us the ability to be able to use a new programming language inside of Excel called DAX, or Data Analysis Expressions. Now, with Power Pivot and data modeling, this gives us the ability to be able to report on very, very, very large sets of data. We can build extensive, complex relationships between those different sets of data, create complex or simple calculations, all in a really high performance environment. You know, for those of you who are a little bit more advanced, that are familiar with working with databases, it's kind of like a SQL Server analysis engine running right inside of Excel. Okay. And Power Pivot's been around for a while. It's been around since 2013, although it was something additionally that you had to download and install. If you're using any modern version of Excel from 365, for example, or Excel 2019, if you're on a perpetual license forward, it's right in there and you can access it directly. And so if you're looking, for example, to report upon large volumes of data, millions of rows from lots of different sources, well, guess what? This is definitely going to be the tool that you need to use. And it does take a little bit of work, does take a little bit of time to get started, but once you kind of get the basics around, it's not too difficult. Let's go ahead and take a look at a very simple example here. Now, in this, I'm going to create a very, very simple data model, and I'm going to show you both how to do this with the standard Excel functionality as well as how to use it with Power Pivot. Now, over here, what we have is data coming from, let's envision here, three different sources. We have our chart of accounts that might be coming straight from our accounting system. Okay, we have another worksheet and table with our transactional data. Maybe this is coming from our website ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning System. And then we just have a third worksheet that is our transaction date worksheet. And in this particular instance, we're reporting in fiscal periods, not in calendar periods. And so this worksheet would be something that maybe we have just sitting on our computer that translates a date of a transaction to the correct fiscal period for a company. So in this case, January 2nd would actually be fiscal quarter three and fiscal year 2019. This is important because Excel, as many tools like it, only report in calendar period. And if we're a fiscal reporter, well, guess what? We need some sort of tool that can relate these items together so that when we have a transactional date, we can have the correct fiscal period listed as well. Now, I want to ultimately create a pivot table from these three different worksheets. How will we do this in the past? Well, from the past way of handling this, we would end up creating a mess and web of different lookup formulas, calculating and pulling data in from different places, typically from those dimensional worksheets, and in the dimensional worksheets being the chart and the date worksheets, to the transactions worksheet. Now, we can create the data model automatically directly inside of Excel by coming over here to the data tab. And from the data tab, over here under data tools, you will see a button called relationships. Okay, and if we click that little button, this gives us the ability to create relationships within the data itself. And what we want to do ultimately is create at least one relationship between each of these different tables so that everything is touching everything else. So as an example here, we would select from our transaction worksheet. We want to relate it to our chart of accounts worksheet, and we want to select the common things between them. In this case, it would be the account number in one and the account number in the other. And what we're telling Excel to do here, it's kind of like an intrinsic lookup between this, is that between the transactions worksheet and the chart of accounts worksheet, the common column between them is account number. We're going to go ahead and click OK, creating a relationship for that. Okay. And what it does in the background, it's like, again, creating a lookup formula between those different columns without actually having to write that lookup formula. Now we have three worksheets, so we need at least two relationships. And so in this one, we're going to select our transactions table. Our related table here is going to be periods. And one column for our periods would be date. And for our other column, it would be transaction date. It's important to note that not everything has to be called the same thing. So in this case, we have one column called date and the other one called transaction date. And if we click OK, we've now created that relationship between them. So you can do this one by one like that. Personally, though, what I think works a little bit better is the Power Pivot. And if you look right next to our relationship tab here, you'll see that the Manage Data Model button is present as well. So if we go ahead and we click that guy, okay, we need to enable our data analysis plugin for this to work. Give it a second, and it's going to pop up the Power Pivot. You'll see here in our Power Pivot that we have all three worksheets in here, transactions, chart, and periods. And to be a little bit more precise, these actually aren't the worksheets themselves. These are the tables which are on those worksheets. Now, if we click over here to Diagram View, you will see that the relationships essentially are visually mapped. And some of you, myself included, might find this to be a little bit more intuitive to work with. Let me go ahead and just delete this relationship, and I'll just show you how simple it is to create them again. Okay. Let's see. There we go. Delete from model. And we'll do this other one over here. Give this a second to catch up. Okay. And all we have to do is from our transactions table, what I like to do is I like to put my main fact table, a fact table being where the numbers are. I like to put that in the middle. And then I like to have my dimensional table, the tables that are going to describe those facts, just kind of off in the wings a little bit. And what we'll do is we'll just pull the different common columns. In this case, we're going to pull transaction date over here to date. And you'll see it creates that relationship automatically for you. And likewise, we will pull our account number over here to our chart or vice versa. It will figure out the direction or cardinality of the data automatically. And we've essentially created that data model. Now, one of the cool things about this, once we've created this data model, we can go ahead and create the pivot table by just clicking the pivot table in the home tab, and we can create a new pivot table with the data coming from those three different worksheets. Okay, so what we will go ahead and do here is we'll pull our transaction amount down here to values. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pull our period. We'll pull our fiscal year over here to columns, our fiscal quarter underneath our columns. Okay, and then we're going to pull our chart of accounts. We're going to pull our name down here to rows. Bada bing, bada boom. Look at that beautiful pivot table from those three different worksheets summarized in the correct way in the correct fiscal periods. So that is a really useful tool, and the Power Pivot and the data modeling capabilities are 100% the reason and how that is able to be done. Now, outside of Excel, the other tool to be aware of is Power BI. Power BI is that business intelligence dashboard reporting tool. Now, spreadsheets are great, but it requires you to open up that spreadsheet, work with that spreadsheet, calculate inside that spreadsheet. A business intelligence dashboarding tool allows you to do very similar stuff, but it will dynamically pull that data from those different places. In this case, Excel, spreadsheets, cloud services, streaming data, on-premise data, whatever. And will do all those calculations for you and will keep them up to date automatically. This is such a large topic. We're going to cover it in a separate series. And in fact, you can check out our Power BI series. We've done a couple of episodes so far where you can learn a little bit more about how this tool works. Now, what I do want you to know is that it works with lots of different stuff, and it even has native integrations with lots of different services you're already probably using. So if you're using a CRM such as Dynamics 365 or maybe you're using an accounting system like QuickBooks or Acumatica or others, well, in almost no work, you could provide your credentials to those different services, and it will dynamically pull down that data for you, instantly creating your dashboard, mashing up that different data. So it's a great way of being able to integrate your different data for reporting purposes and to see different things side by side, so you can really kind of make important decisions about your organization. And you can really kind of create any type of visualization, any type of dashboard you might need. It supports all the standard stuff, bar charts, pie charts, and even more advanced stuff like key performance indicators, leaderboards, mapping and geospatial analytics, and others. And it's just a really, really cool tool to produce dashboards. Now, it's also in the same vein of write once, refresh many. We essentially create the dashboard, we publish it to the Power BI service, and then anybody in our company can come at any point that they would like, and they can get that data on demand and learn from that data and make good decisions from that data. We don't even have to update it in the future. It will stay up to date for us with no work on our side, as long as the data is as accessible to that Power BI service. All right, folks, let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. Okay, which of the following best describes what Microsoft Power BI does? Okay, push notifications to your customers with upcoming appointments. Nope, it does not do that. Helps you improve business processes by automating processes and predicting outcomes. No, it does not do that. Although it can certainly automate a lot of the reporting, it's not going to make any changes for you. It can do some prediction analysis through trend lines and statistical analysis. Ultimately, though, it's going to be somebody making that decision. Allows you to easily send newsletters, announcements, and other marketing communications with ease. No, that is not correct. The correct answer here is it creates beautiful dashboards from your organizational data in real time. Alrighty, folks, let's go ahead and go into our next section here. And let's just spend a few minutes, not a tremendous amount of time here, talking about programming. Okay, I definitely want to cover this in future podcasts as well, but I just kind of want to get your appetite going about programming. And this is something I feel very passionate about, because this is in a lot of ways very reflective about my life. Okay, I am a certified public accountant. I'm licensed in the state of California. I worked for years in public accounting. However, I've worked way longer in software development and in technology than I ever did in financial services. And I have found that having a really good background in finance, in accounting, and understanding essentially the flow of money through a company is very similar to how programming works inside of a system. And they're very complementary knowledge sets to each other. And having some background in programming, and I can say this as somebody who does this for a living, you know, even if I wasn't in programming anymore, knowing some of this, man, can it really, really help for so many other professions? Let's face it, everything is getting more and more technical these days. You know, accounting is less and less transactional detail. It's more and more systems based, and having a good foundational knowledge of how systems work and how programming works can help you in your career so much. And a great way to start thinking about this are different ways that you can automate and integrate many of the things that you're doing in your day-to-day life. At some point, you're going to want to do something that the pre-built tools that I've talked about doesn't support for you. You're going to want to, for example, have system A talk to system B, and there's just not a template for that to work. Or Zapier or Power Automate or any of those other tools aren't going to have a connector for you to connect with. Well, this is where you're going to have to, you know, figuratively and literally roll up your sleeves and do it for yourself. Programming is something you should not be afraid of. Okay, I'm going to tell you, you should run with open arms towards programming these days, because it's never been a better time to learn. The tools that are available to you are fantastic. They're much more approachable than they were even a few years ago. It is something that, in my opinion, is only going to make you more valuable as a professional going forward. And on top of that, the documentation, the knowledge, the training that's available in 2021 and beyond is fantastic. There's so many resources to teach you, to help you debug your code, and to get good. And it doesn't take much, maybe a week or two of your time, to learn the basics. And that little bit of investment on knowledge, in my opinion, far exceeds most things you could learn in a graduate program. The knowledge that I've gained through programming far exceeds the graduate work I've done in other circumstances. Now, programming gives some specific characteristics and some specific benefits to your project that you're not going to get through any other mechanism. It will give you the best control and customization of your project. You can do anything you want, any way you want. It fits your project and your specific use case like a glove. It does exactly what you tell it to do every single time. You could do virtually anything with programming. You could take something that's over here and do something over there. And if you know how the kind of the commonalities between these things, you can do it. You can make essentially water into wine. A good example of this is a tool I have come to love and use constantly. This is a Elgato Stream Deck. It is a kind of a separate keyboard that you can have right directly on your desktop. And, I love this thing because it allows me to, with the push of a button, do a lot of really quick and fast things. So I have, for example, buttons for all of my Excel shortcuts, and I've also got programs essentially inside of here to manage things like my time and billing for our company. And man, does it make things so much faster and easier, and I can do it all with the push of a button. Guess how I did that? I did it through programming. Now, downside, it can be complicated. It can take some time to learn. It's not something you're just going to learn off the top of your head. It can be expensive if you're looking to engage somebody in your organization to do this for you. And it usually is pretty unique to specific projects. But again, it's never been a better time. And today is the best day to do it. Tomorrow would be the second best day to do it. Don't put it off. Just learn a little bit. Now, there are a lot of languages that you can choose from. Good news is, again, they're very approachable. Now, understanding what language is really going to be a factor of what you're trying to do. Some languages are very specific about what they do. For example, HTML, hypertext markup language, is designed to display stuff solely within a web browser. Nothing more. It doesn't do any logic. It's a display language. Other languages, though, have wider applications. Python, JavaScript, these can be used to do web projects, desktop applications, mobile apps, and more. If you're just getting started, my recommendation, check out Python and JavaScript, or JS. They're easy to learn. They have an abundance of support options. It's not too difficult. The language is very forgiving, and there's a lot of tutorials on how to learn it. Now, there are other specific languages you should know. That Power Query thing I was telling you about earlier, where you can pull data in from different places and do crazy, awesome things inside of Excel. Well, there's a programming language behind it. It's called M. The M programming language is the language of how data moves inside of Excel and how it extracts and transforms and loads that data in from other places. You know, and if you are essentially lurking to learn how to maybe get better control over how you import data, well, learning how to use M would definitely be the thing that you would want to learn. Okay. And so M is just a very data-driven language, and it's all about transforming language from one to the other. Let's go ahead and just take a quick look at what this might look like. I just happen to have our example from the foreign currency rates up here. So if we come into Power Query and we click the Advanced Editor button, this will bring up the M language, and you can kind of get a sense of what it looks like. And it's a very easy language to understand. The syntax of this is not too difficult. In this case, it tells you line by line what it's doing, and every line represents a different step of this particular process. So in this particular instance, the language is telling us, hey, I went to the source, in this case, X-rates, I went and got data, I changed some data, I filtered some data, I renamed some data, and then I returned it to Excel in that particular format. But again, it's not too difficult to be able to learn that particular language. It's a very transparent language. It's written in English, essentially. Now, at some point, you're going to want to do some custom stuff. There are three different categories of products and programming languages I would tell you to look at. There's Microsoft and then non-Microsoft. In the Microsoft realm, we have the Microsoft-centric programming languages of Visual Basic for applications, sometimes called VBA. We have C# and we have .NET, and those are very complementary to each other. VBA has been around forever. It's an older style event-driven language, and it is the programming language for the Microsoft Office suite of applications. If you're interested, check out our playlist and podcast series on user-defined functions, where I teach you how to create your own functions inside of Excel. All of those functions are written in using VBA. At some point, though, you might want to do some more powerful stuff with Office, and that is where .NET and C# are going to step in. They're successor products to VBA and have a lot of power behind them. But you'll typically find these languages inside the Microsoft ecosystem of products. Now, the two languages I recommend that you get started with, one is called Python. It is a general purpose language. You can use it for everything from building a website to doing complex analysis, looking for fraud. The AICPA actually has some really kind of cool resources with respect to using Python for auditing. And you can use and learn kind of some of these data standards and apply those data standards in the Python programming language to learn how to do some different audit techniques. If you just go ahead and you Google AICPA Python audit, you can go ahead and see some of the kind of really cool resources that the AICPA has put together. So they have this, a couple of different downloadable things that you can find, like some white papers, some example scripts. If you look and you find their audit data standards site, this is going to kind of be the home site for the different Python stuff that they have made available. And so they've got some base standards, some general ledger standards, so on and so forth. If we go ahead and we take a look at this, this is a white paper talking about essentially how to use Python for auditing, you know, and so it's kind of cool. And I'm really happy to see that a group like the AICPA is embracing this for the profession. Now, the other programming language I would tell you to take a look at would be JavaScript. Now, JavaScript primarily started its life being the programming language of the web. However, in the last 10, 15 years, it's emerged as an incredibly powerful language on its own. And JavaScript can be used for virtually anything. It's very easy to learn. It's great. And we're actually starting to see more and more JavaScript make its way into applications like Excel, PowerPoint, and others. And I could often see JavaScript or maybe even its successor product, TypeScript, replacing VBA and other Microsoft-centric languages in the future. It's great, for example, for getting stuff in and out of databases. All right, let's go ahead and have our next review question. What advantages does custom programming provide to your data integration project? Does it fit your project like a glove? You betcha it does. Can you do virtually anything with it? Yes, absolutely. Does it give you the greatest level of control over your project? Absolutely, it does. The correct answer here is all of the above. Now, in the last section here, I just want to touch upon some of my favorite useful integration services and tools. The reason being is that as you continue down the integration path, you're going to need to find certain functions and programs and things for your project, like charging a credit card or sending out an email newsletter, you know? And other systems can really kind of provide that niche functionality. If we think about most applications today, it's kind of like a web of different tools kind of integrated together so that essentially they act as one ecosystem of products. And I would tell you it's always best to choose services that are cloud-based, that are well-documented, are flexibly priced or low-cost, preferably if you're just kind of learning, and have a large support community because you will have issues and questions, and having somebody that you can ask can certainly be a lifesaver. With good integration, you can choose the best of the best, and you can integrate those specific apps that you like the best and services you like the best into your deliverable product, and you don't have to compromise as much. Now, I would always tell you, when you're getting started, pick stuff that already has some integration. It's just going to generally make your life a lot easier, but don't be forced to pick something if you don't like it. You can always find other products that will do something similar. So we have about 10 minutes left. I'm just going to talk about some of my favorite tools, and we'll hit through as many of these as we possibly can. Now, when it comes to email marketing, this is the de facto standard now for marketing these days is newsletters. I mean, it's so much easier to reach a larger audience through email than it is through direct mail, and certainly at a mere fraction of the cost. One of my favorite tools for email marketing is MailChimp for people who are just getting started. It's easy, it's fast, it's efficient, and it integrates with just about everything. You, for example, in your QuickBooks file could have an integration where when a customer gets added to your QuickBooks or to your customer database, that they are then automatically subscribed to your organization's newsletter. It just happens in the background. They've got great templates to help you build your own newsletter from scratch. And if you don't like any of the templates, you can code your own. It's also great for small businesses and organizations. You can have up to 2,000 subscribers on your mailing list, and you could send them 12,000 emails per month without incurring any fees. So for small organizations, think Boy Scout troops or your local parish or church or your community and civil organizations. This is a great way of being able to stay in touch with folks without really kind of having to come out of pocket. If you're looking to involve anything around communication, and I'm talking text messaging, voice, video conferencing, telephone calls, call trees, things of this nature, my absolute go-to service is Twilio. Twilio is fantastic because it offers a super easy, robust set of services that you can use for communication with just about anything, from email to text messaging to voice to everything you might want to use. 100% cloud-based, 100% remote. It's all feature-rich, very flexibly priced, very reasonably priced as well. And you might, for example, use this to manage things like push notifications or text messages. Imagine your clients call you up, they set an appointment, and you want to send them a reminder saying, "Hey, Steve, you know, you have an appointment Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and you want to send it to their cell phones." Well, Twilio is going to be that service that allows you to do that automatically. So overall, it's a really good tool involving anything around communications. Now, my go-to tool for customer relationship management, or CRM, as well as marketing automation in terms of, again, marketing to people and setting it up so it's a process and happens on demand, is a tool called HubSpot. Now, HubSpot is very flexible, it's very robust, it's very easy to work with, and so if you're looking for something to essentially manage the sales and operation process for your organization, HubSpot is it. It's got four main tools, a marketing hub, a sales hub, and a service hub. The marketing hub is definitely what they're known for the most. It's around, for example, converting visitors into customers, email marketing, running campaigns. The sales hub is around automation of that sales process, understanding prospects and turning them into customers, automating tasks around that sales. And the service hub is really kind of designed to connect you with customers and ensure that they have a really good experience. But it's a really robust and easy to use sales, marketing, and service solution. If your organization is looking to sell online and you don't want to maybe necessarily build a whole custom solution, custom app, my go-to for getting started with e-commerce would be Shopify. Very widely used, very flexible, has tons of integration and extensible plugins to tie it into anything. Using this tool, you can easily, for example, sell things online through your organization's e-commerce website. So if you want to sell products or shirts, limited services, limited events, this is a really good solution for you. They take care of all the security, the inventory tracking, all that kind of stuff automatically for you. So you don't really have to think about it. And it ties in with just a lot of other systems. For example, let's say when somebody buys something on your shop, well, Shopify can record that sale as occurring. And then, for example, maybe reach out to QuickBooks and set up that customer, set up the sale so that it's recorded in the financial system as well. It can connect to a variety of other third parties as well. Let's say, for example, you're going to do fulfillment for that shirt or hat that someone bought. Well, you're going to have to create a shipping label for that. Well, that is when reaching out to UPS and FedEx and, you know, either charging the correct shipping amount or preferably even creating the label could be really beneficial. So that sale occurs. Okay. You get notification that sales occur. You pull that item from inventory, and then Shopify automatically emails you in a label from UPS or FedEx that you can slap on that box and send it out the door, saving you some time and money. If you are going to do anything involving e-commerce on your own, and you're going to charge credit cards for it, Stripe is my absolute go-to for any aspects of credit card processing. And it is fantastic because it is so useful, so easy, so efficient, and affordable. The tools are robust. The API, application programming interface, is so easy to work with that you could really kind of tie it into anything. And it even has native integration to a lot of accounting systems so that you can automatically pull down your credit card details. It's got great services around fraud detection and protection, helping merchants avoid fraudulent charges so they don't get chargebacks. And it's very affordable too. Their standard plan is 2.9%. 2.9% plus a 30 cent per transaction charge. And that's the same regardless of credit card, whether it's an Amex, whether it's a Visa, or whatever. You're not going to find a more affordable solution. And in fact, if you do at volume, they even have better plans for larger volume customers. So let's say you do have a custom e-commerce solution and you want to charge credit cards. Well, when that order is placed on your website, the information is sent to Stripe securely for processing. Upon successful settlement, a confirmation is automatically written back to your system, and you don't even have to store any confidential payment details for your customers. All that data is stored securely in Stripe's system, effectively eliminating your risk for a breach of financial credit card data to very manageable levels. Now, I do have a couple of extra tools. I'm not going to go into details for these, but I do want to draw your attention to just a couple of what I would consider development tools. You know, if you're going to do and you're starting to go down this integration path, maybe you're thinking about custom programming. Maybe you're using tools like Zapier, Power Automate, and others. There are some great additional services that you should be familiar with for part of your project. A really good tool for debugging integration through APIs, that application programming interface, is a tool called Postman. It's a free tool. Just download it to your Windows or Mac, and you can easily debug and work on your integration piece by piece. It lets you send and receive things like REST API calls, SOAP calls, GraphQL, and these are all very technical terms and others. And it's free for personal use and affordable for business use. If you're looking to host your custom integration somewhere, in my opinion, you can't go wrong with AWS, Amazon Web Services, one of the largest, if not the largest, cloud infrastructure company out there. They have products and tools and services for virtually everything. And they also have products and their data centers in facilities all over the world. In my opinion, there's nothing better. It's very affordable, very easy, and I just really think their tools work very efficiently, and that's my favorite. Other comparable products would be Microsoft's Azure platform or Google Cloud. Google Cloud has a number of additional tools besides just infrastructure stuff. They've got great stuff, for example, for things like working with big data. They've certainly got things like their mapping API if you're looking to do geospatial analytics, and their cloud offers over 60 functionalities that you can use to build really kind of any type of product and project, from hosting your firm's website to crunching big data. You know, they've kind of got stuff for just about everything, which is, in my opinion, really useful. All right, well, that does bring us to the end of our podcast for today. Let's go ahead and take a look at our final review question. Which service would be useful for email marketing with your customers? Would it be the Google Cloud? You probably could, but that wouldn't be my first option. I mean, there are plenty of other services that'll do it a little bit easier and more efficiently. You could, but that's not the correct answer here. Is it Shopify? No. I mean, yes, again, you could do it for email marketing. I mean, they've got some tools and functionalities, but it's not, in my opinion, the best. Could it be Stripe? No, that would be the best tool to use, for example, for charging a credit card or processing a transaction. In my opinion, the best option for email marketing would be that MailChimp application. Okay, so what did we discuss today? Well, today we discussed different ways of using existing tools we already have at our disposal, such as Microsoft Excel and Power BI for data sharing and integration. Great options with respect to reporting on the reporting side of this. We can use that Power Query to pull in data from anywhere. We can relate it using the data modeling and Power Pivot functionalities to produce pivot tables that far exceed the traditional limitations of Excel. We talked a little bit about why programming will always give us the best control and customization and why it's a great time to get started learning how to use programming and the tools and resources that are available to you. Okay, and then we also talked through some of my favorite cloud-based tools and resources for specific functionalities, marketing, processing, credit cards, and more. Okay. Now, in future episodes of this series, we are going to take a deeper dive into the low-code and no-code integration tools like Zapier, Power Automate, Ifit, and others. I think these tools are fantastic for what they do, and they're a great way to get started into start exploring some of the options that you can have with data sharing and integration inside of your organization. So stay tuned for episodes on each of those tools, Zapier, Power Automate, Ifit, and more. And we're also going to take a deeper look into data sharing and integration with custom programming. Again, it's never been a better time to learn. And we're going to talk through different tools like JavaScript, Python, and others that you might want to use. Okay, well, I do want to remind you that if you are a financial professional, CPA, enrolled agent, CFP, and others, you can earn credits for listening to today's podcast. It's super simple. After listening to today's podcast or watching on YouTube or elsewhere, head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code IDS4. Again, that is cpetoday.com, use course code IDS4, and you can earn a credit for today's material. It's super simple. It'll take you 2 minutes, and you will have a credit well on your way to maintaining your professional license. If you enjoyed today's material, and I hope you did, I would hope you might consider following us on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and others, and almost all platforms we are at CPE Today. I would hope you might consider subscribing. We would love for you to subscribe to us on wherever you happen to consume your materials. You can always listen to our podcast after the fact on Apple Podcasts, Google, SoundCloud, Spotify, and others. We hope that we have earned your ability to consider following us for additional technical materials on accounting, audit, technology, and other topics of interest for financial professionals. And we'd love for you to consider subscribing to us and maybe even leaving us a review or comment. Every little bit helps, and we're always looking to improve our products and offering. Thank you so much for your time and attention today, and I look forward to seeing you back in the office again soon.